Well, good morning, and good morning on the other side of the camera, and welcome into Longmeadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled, Well, That Happened. Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 24, verse 12. Verse 12. I'm in a rare mood today, folks. So, there's a great violinist who noticed that when he played his violin, people would come from miles around to hear him, and they'd get in a trance. And he noticed that after a while of playing his beautiful violin and this music, people would start to sway back and forth like a metronome, and they'd get into this trance. And so he was asked to come to a house one time and play a private party. And while he was doing it, he noticed that all the animals were in a trance, and they were swaying back and forth. He thought, maybe I'm onto something. So he went to the local farm and he walked out in the field and he started playing, and the cows and the goats and the chickens all came and they sat in a trance and they listened to this beautiful music. He thought, I'm really doing this great. He said, so I'm going to go to Africa and try it with wild animals. So he did. He got a trip laid out, and the people took him over there, and he walked out into the Sahara, whatever they call that desert where all the animals are. And he started playing. And there was nothing there. And then here come a pack of wild hyenas. And they stopped and they listened to the beautiful music. And they swayed, and snakes hung down from the trees. And they swayed. And other animals and wildebeests and antelopes and gazelles all came together and they listened to the music. And then suddenly lions started coming in. And they set up and they listened to the music. And then one lion come out of the woods watching this for a second and then bolted forward and attacked the violinist and began to try to kill him. And the other lions got him off and the people got him back and they rushed back and the lions caught the one that attacked him and pulled him over to the side and said, what's wrong with you, man? Didn't you hear that beautiful music? And the lion looked at him and put his paw up to his ear and went, huh? You'll catch up on that in a minute. Well, that happened. Luke chapter 24, verse 12. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to be here today. But we thank you, Father, that there are those on the other side of the camera watching what's going on as well. And the gospel is expanding. The word is going out. This sermon does not belong to me. It is not my creation. It is inspired by you, Father. By Jesus. By the beauty and glory of everything that has happened these past 2 weeks. We are still thinking about the fact that he rose up. Father, use these words that they may lift us and guide us and take us along this week and strengthen us accordingly. May we come to know you, walk with Jesus a little closer, and be ever more filled with the Holy Spirit. In his name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. How about that, huh? One verse. One single verse. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Be ready. Because there's going to be a test on that later. And I'm going to watch and see who failed the test. And then if you failed the test, whether you're on that side of the camera or here in the room, if you failed the test, I'm going to come to your house and read the gospel to you. In 1907, on the corner of Meridian and New York Street in 1907, the Central Union Telephone Company built a great building. The building was 8-9 floors high, humongous building. It became the center of attraction in town. And the Union Telephone Company built it as a headquarters. It was their switching building. And suddenly, as it began to grow, Indiana Bell came forward as it began to amass and congeal, all these little phone companies. And Indiana Bell bought the building in 1929. And they began to look hard at this building. And finally, the Indiana Bell board said, the building is too small. The building doesn't work where it's laid out. We don't have any room to expand. So we're going to knock it down. But people got excited about it. Their beautiful building was about to be knocked down, and discussions got underway, and they were afraid because all the telephone lines in Indiana, in that part of Indiana, all went up into this building, and all the switching took place there. And oh my goodness, we won't be able to have telephone service. And how can you do that? And it'll be months and months and months and months. And Kurt Vonnegut Sr., an architect, walked up one day and looked at the building with the board of directors and said, why don't we just move it? And they laughed at him. You can't move a building. Well, we move houses out on the prairie. This ain't a house. He said, I'm not talking about taking it down the street. Let's turn the building 90 degrees and shift it a little bit. And then you have all this room to begin expanding onto. You can't do it. It can't be done. But he proved them that it could. Beginning in late 1930, the relocation, shifting the building 16 meters south by rotating it 90 degrees and then another 100 feet to the west, is the most incredible feat of moving a building to this day in modern engineering. They were done with hand-operated jacks, and a steam engine was laid off to one side, a stationary engine with cables to support and hold things still. And they built concrete mats, and they went out and got Oregon fir timbers, and with hydraulic jacks and rollers, they moved the building. Every time they operated the jack screws, each time they arced it once, they would move that building 1/100th of an inch. And working together in unison, they moved that building 15 inches per day. Moved the building, turned it around. They set up a walkway with a cover on it so that the people could go in and out. And here's the greatest part. It took 34 days to shift that building in 90 degrees around. And when they did it, never dropped the telephone service, never had to disconnect from the gas, never had to disconnect from the electricity or the sewer or anything else. And the people that worked in that building, 300 people operating the Indiana Bell telephone system, never felt the building move. They never knew what was going on. It was done with such care and such precision that men got on trains and engineers came from everywhere around the country to watch what was going on. They watched as the basement was expanded every day to shift everything. And when they got done, somebody leaned back and went, well, that happened. And that is a direct quote from somebody covering it. They shifted an 11,000-ton building 90 degrees and 100 feet to the west. It's an amazing thing. One section of the building even still remains today, although the majority of it was demolished later on in the 70s to make room for as they rebuilt the whole plaza. But part of that building still stands today as a testament to it. That it could be done. That something like that could happen. And yet we look at stuff all the time and go, well, that's impossible. Wasn't there a TV show named that something a while back, That's Impossible, or That Can't Be Done, or what was it called? That's Incredible. Well, that's incredible. And I think about the things that I have seen in my short time on this earth. And I've thought about the people that laughed and said things couldn't be done. Oh, you'll never get a rocket into space. Oh, you'll never get somebody to ride that thing into space. Oh, you'll never get that airplane off the ground. Oh, you'll never build an airplane so big that it takes 8 engines to fly. It'll never get in the air. Oh, you'll never build an airplane out of plywood and fly it. Anybody ever heard of the spruce goose? It flew. Oh, you'll never, ever, ever to be able to take a car over 15 miles an hour because you'll get sick and things will happen to the body. And it just, the human body is not built to do that. Can't go over 15 miles an hour. I dare any of you to take a ride with me down 70 in the morning. You can't take 1,000,000 pounds of steel, power it by steam, drop it on 2 little spindly old railroad tracks, and move freight with it. It can't be done. The steel will spin. Nothing will happen. You won't get anywhere. Richard Trevathick said, and he built the first steam engine. And we saw engines grow from that. And what happens today? You can go up there to Canada to the Great Canadian Railway, and they've got a rail line that runs from one coast to the other without stopping. And in the middle of it, because of the thing called the Continental Divide, they actually shift the railroad so that when that train goes across and turns that long horseshoe curve to change grades, the train actually looks at itself crossing. Well, that happened. So why can't we take things sometimes and just accept that things can be done? You know why? Because we live in the world of assumption. We get lost thinking that it cannot happen, that things don't work like that. During one of his European tours, the master magician and locksmith, Harry Houdini, found himself locked in by his own thinking. Locked up by his own thinking. After he had been searched and manacled in a Scottish town jail, the old turnkey shut him in the cell and walked away. Now Houdini quickly freed himself, got his shackles off, and then went after the cell lock. Gonna teach them all a lesson. And worked on it for 5 hours. And could not figure out the lock. Finally, completely desperate and exhausted, sweat running down his face, he put his arm up against the door and leaned on it, and the door swung open. The old turnkey had forgot to lock the cell. It's so simple sometimes that we make things so difficult that he just walked up and gave it a push first. And isn't that how you do things? You have to find the hardest way first, even though the simplest way looks you right in the face. I'm proud to say that I don't fall victim to that. Well, I haven't yet this morning. We get lost in this assumption that everything is hard, that everything is too impossible to believe when somebody says something spectacular to us, and we get lost in that world. Something as spectacular as, "He is risen."
He is risen.
All right. You're almost there today. And that's what's going on in verse 12. Peter has been with Jesus Christ for 3 years. Jesus has told them over and over again, "I'm going to die." Told them 3 times, "I'm going to die." Told them on the Last Supper, "I'm going to die. But I'm not going to stay away. I'm going to die. I'm going to break the power of death. I'm going to show you the victory over sin. And I'm going to walk out of the grave again so that whosoever believes in me shall not perish." And they didn't listen. Verse 12 says very simply, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb after Mary had said, "He ain't there. And I saw him." Got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Everybody say, "What happened, Paul?"
"What happened, Paul?"
I'm glad you asked. It just so happens I have this book here that I can tell you what happened next. So as we start into verse 13, and now I'm watching. You guys did very good. I figured out here Bible's opening back up. Haven't I taught you that before? Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he said. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more is that it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he had disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on that road and opened up the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem." At once to Jerusalem. "There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and appeared and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized when he broke bread." Well, that happened. You know, in 1978, when they started the walk to Emmaus, all they were trying to do was figure out a way to encourage lay preachers, specifically lay women preachers, in an outreach of the Catholic Church. That's how it started. In 1986 or 5 is when the men's walk to Emmaus and the journey began, and it has exploded forth. And why? Because people want to experience that. They want to know. And these did. They knew. They knew now so much more than where they had started. They knew what was going on, and wondering what had happened was no more. Well, it happened. Well, that happened. He was with us. He broke bread. He walked with us. I love reading this story because there's one part in that scripture that I love to read. Jesus pretended or acted like or made it seem like he was going to go on a little further. Like, "Are you guys going to have me in for some chicken? Are you going to have me come in? I want to see if they're listening. Hey, where are you going? Come here for a minute. It's, we've been walking 7 miles. It's getting dark. Come on. Come on in and sit and spend the evening with us." 7 miles. Let's be clear on 7 miles. 7 miles of walking across horrible, rough terrain. Jesus didn't just appear in such a way that they didn't notice it. They would have seen him coming from any direction, way off. You just didn't walk up on somebody walking on the road to Emmaus. It just didn't happen. And suddenly, there he was. The Bible says, appeared with them. They didn't question it. "Hey, man, where did you come from? Hey, how you doing, buddy? It's good to get. Where are you from? Did you hear what was going on? Why do you all look so sad?" They killed Jesus. And we don't even know what's going on. And the Bible says in verse 27, in that walk, he started at the beginning with Moses and explained the Christ right up to himself and what he must suffer. They're sitting in a house and they break bread and he disappears. And suddenly they realize Jesus was with them and they got up. The Bible says they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Remember the trip they took, 7 miles? They turned around and walked it back. They hustled back down to where everybody was gathered. And those men were gathered in fear behind locked doors. Afraid because now Jesus is dead. Now the body is gone. We don't know what's going on. We went over to the tomb. It's empty. Something's wrong here. They're coming for us next. We saw Jesus. I'll bet they didn't get let in right away. Bible goes on just a little bit further. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands, at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see it." Well, that happened. Jesus Christ rose from the dead and sealed death forever and saved us from ourselves forever. Paid the price. You know, people refuse sometimes to believe what they see. In spite of the evidence, the explorers that went to Australia the first time found a mammal that laid eggs. A mammal that laid eggs. Spent it some time in the water, some time on land. Had a great big old broad flat tail, webbed feet, and a bill similar to a duck. And when they got back to England, they told the people about that. And immediately, the great scientific minds and thinkers that saw them in the great scientific hall, when they said what they had seen, said to them, "Take away their rum. They've had too much." So they went back. And they found one that had passed away. And they brought the pelt back and they laid it down in front of the great scientific people. And the great scientific people said, "I thought I told you to take away their rum. Now they're putting body parts together trying to make an animal." They didn't believe. And it wasn't until another group went over and saw it that the platypus was finally believed. Miracles happen all the time. Things take place without our explanation. And without our understanding, we do better to believe them. That's what today in this scripture is all about. Accepting and believing truth when it is true, no matter how far-fetched we think it might be. To me, it is far better to believe and accept certain things that we know come from truth and worthy resources than to stand back and wonder. You want to know how to measure up if it's truth? Right here. If Jesus said it, it's going to be in here. If he said it, it's truth. If God had it happen, it's truth. If we're saved, it's because Jesus died for our sins. It's right here and it's truth. No matter how far-fetched it is, no matter how hard it is for us to believe that somebody died on that nasty cross, went down to hell, fought off death, and walked back out of it alive again. Alive. And because of that, we get to live on. And I know our hearts get broken. I see it all the time. I sure do miss you, Grandma. I sure do miss my good friend. I sure do miss all that stuff. I sure do miss them. And we are still in that phase where death hurts, and it hurts. But to those of us that know Jesus Christ and know that those that went on and then are a far better place, well, that happened. Jesus saved them like he is saving us all the time. That's what 7 miles worth of walking has given us today. Sorry, 14 miles. Charles Spurgeon, I tell you what. I got a list of people that when my day finally comes and I go there, I got a whole list of people that I want to go and visit with. I am going to look like, you know them people that go to the red carpet and they yell and holler at the celebrities and try to get them to walk over. Come over here and touch me, please. If you'll just touch my finger, I'll never wash my hand again. I promise you I won't. I got dirt on my hands one time from a locomotive that I had been trying to see for years, and I refused to wash my hand until my father hauled me in the bathroom and washed it for me. He said, I am tired of looking at that. He said, if you're that wound up about it, we'll go back down and look at it again and you can get dirty again. I want to see the saints. I want to see these people. I want to meet Charlie Spurgeon because he says these words. I would recommend you to believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe it at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deep of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than dry land faith, which is not good for much. Here's your assignment this week. When you get a chance to speak of Jesus Christ, when you get a chance to speak of that which saved you, when you get a chance to do this, and somebody says, it's impossible, I want you to say three words. Ready? Well, that happened. Look at me. I was a wretched sinner. He saved me. I'm now a preacher. How many people ever thought that would happen? Well, that happened. How many people ever thought of anything that has to do with Jesus Christ would live for the past 1,900, and I don't know how many days it's been since Jesus passed away, yet Christianity grows stronger? Well, that happened. Well, the Bible says it did, so it happened. Well, Jesus Christ came up out of that stone. It happened. And when somebody says there is no possible way that this could have any truth to it, you cannot possibly believe that you're saved. Jesus died. He rose again for my sins. Well, that happened. That's the walk to Emmaus today. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty, the glory. Thank you for teaching us about two fellers walking along a dusty road, thinking that the world was over, and yet finding out so much more was to come. Well, that happened. And it happened because you saw to it. It happened because you love us. It happened because the only way that we would ever be reconciled with you forever was to have your Son pay our price. Do I believe it? Yes, I do. I believe it because, well, that happened. Watch over and keep us, Father, in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're lost a little bit today and you need that bench, the bench is open for you. If you're on the other side of the camera, as I do every Sunday, I tell you, just simply reach out. If you don't know Jesus yet, we'll talk. May God bless each and every one of you.